Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Welcome back to another episode of Why Don't I Just Get Started. I am your host, Robert Farrell, and it is good to be back. I have not been here for almost a year. My last show was in March of 2015. And I decided, almost on a whim, on the spur of the moment, just to come back, partly because I haven't been here in so long, and partly because I've been thinking about a concept that I'll share in a moment. But first, I want to discuss this question. What is so important, or what has been so important that it has kept me away for a year? It's kept me from doing this for a year. Now, I'm not asking that question to point a finger at myself or accuse myself, but simply to say, well, what has been so important? Because sometimes there is no really good answer to that, and sometimes there are very valid answers to that, and sometimes it's a little bit in the middle. So what have I been doing for the last year? Well, I've been working on a master's program in American history. It's been an online program. It has taken a lot of my time and energy. The other things that have kept me busy are my children and my job. And those are, I think, valid reasons. At the same time, I think had I made this a real priority, it could have happened. I could have done more shows. To go almost an entire year without having done a show tells me, at least, that I could have perhaps made this more of a priority. So I think a lot of times things are somewhere in the middle. I'm not a total sluggard or sloth because I haven't done this show. On the other hand, simple time management and the simple use of taking advantage of what's happening in the moment might have created more shows. But rather than berate myself or kick myself, I'll simply get started. On the webpage for the show, I put a quote by the Buddha. I think it is by the Buddha. And it says, "The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now." So I'm doing it now. Now, what does this mean? Does this mean I'll be doing shows every day? I don't know, but I'd like to, because it's only a half hour out of my day, and I can certainly fit that time in. I do struggle still with time management, though I have gotten a lot done, and I've had people say I use my time well. I tend to think I use my time okay, but that it could be better. And that got me thinking about some other questions and other issues. One of them is, do we want to use our time, or how should we use our time? I was reading, or actually listening, to a book called The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity. The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity by Catherine Ponder. Catherine with a C. And she said two things that were very interesting. She said, money is divine and work is divine. And I was very struck by those statements. And I started journaling and I asked, what else is divine? So before I answer that question, I have to ask myself, what is divine? What does that word even mean? So I believe it means sacred or holy or from God, as part of God's nature or as a gift from God. But it is something beyond the ordinary. It is something beyond the mundane. It is something special and something to be treated with great respect, with care, with caution. So going back to the idea that money is divine and work is divine, I then asked myself, and I journaled on this, what else is, and I thought, time is divine. Time is sacred. Time is holy. Time should be treated with care. And then I thought of something else with regard to time. I thought of a book I read by Robert Schoenfeld, I believe, S-C-H-O-E-N-F-E-L-D. And the book's called Busting Out of the Money Game. And his concept is that we each have creative powers, amazing, great creative powers of which we're not aware. And we are actually creating our own lives and everything around them, everything we see, all our input, and that everything in our life is part of a game that each of us has created to play. He uses another analogy, that of a movie. In other words, we are each in a movie in which we are not only our own stars, but our directors, our producers, our wardrobe people, our set directors, everything. We are the creators of our own lives. Now, that does get into perhaps some tricky theology, such as, well, what about God? And didn't he create all of this? And doesn't that give me too much power that's actually not true and is not real? And my answer to that is, I don't know. I'm not saying that I necessarily agree or endorse wholeheartedly this concept, but I like the idea of being a creator of my own life. I like the idea that I am choosing everything in my life, and everything in my life is something I've chosen that I even perhaps want and am creating and directing. Now, why would I want certain things? Well, perhaps to work out other things in my life. Perhaps to work out past fears or unresolved issues or problems. I'm not sure, but I'm going to go with this concept, not because I necessarily agree with it 100%, though I don't have any real problems with it, but I'm going to go with this concept simply as a way to view life and take responsibility and make choices. So what kind of life am I creating? What do I want? What kind of game am I playing? What are the rules? And, well, what do I want? Can I create what I want? Now, again, going back to the concept of a movie, if the movie was a straight line from the protagonist's goal to completion of that goal, and there was no conflict or stress or trouble, it probably wouldn't be an interesting story. In other words, if the story was once upon a time, they all lived happily ever after, and that was the whole story, well, then it's not a story. It's not a movie. So within the movie, within the framework, there needs to be, according to Seinfeld, conflict or a story, a tension. But beyond that, again, what kind of life do I want? What kind of movie do I want? What kind of game do I want to play? What do I want to do with my life, with my time, with what's been given me? And let's say it's not my life. Let's say it's not my time, but it's all a loan, not even a gift, but a loan from God. He's loaning me this time. He's lending me, actually. He's lending me this time. He's lending me the resources I have, my intelligence, my abilities, my financial situation, my job. He's lending me all these things. And he's saying, okay, what are you going to do with it? Let me give an example of that. Today I have a friend coming over and he's going to lend me his bicycle. And I assume that he wouldn't want me to leave it outside in the rain. I assume that he wouldn't want me to ride it on the freeway. I assume that he wouldn't want me to damage it because someday he'll ask for it back. And if I give it back and it's all thrashed or wrecked, he's probably not going to be really happy with me. So I'm assuming my friend will want me to take care of it and return it in the same condition, if not better, than which he gave it to me. Now, what if it's a gift? What if he's saying, you can have it, you can keep it, you can do whatever you want with it? Well, that opens up another line of thought, which is, I think he would be happy if he knew that I was enjoying the gift, that I was making the most use out of it, that I was taking care of the gift. There are a few things more disappointing than when you give a gift to someone that was well thought out and that you thought would be very much enjoyed and received well by the recipient, and then you don't hear anything back. You don't know if they liked it or disliked it. You don't know if they thought, oh, nice, and then just shoved it in a closet somewhere and never looked at it again. And so it's disappointing when you give a gift to someone and they have no regard for it. They don't say anything. They say, thanks, sir. Maybe not even that. And then you go, gosh, I actually invested part of myself in giving you this gift, and you don't even care. And that's hurtful. So whether this life, whether my time, whether my money, whether my job, whether my health, whether my relationships, whether my abilities and skills are gifts or are loans, I think I am still obligated to take the best care of them, to believe that everything in my life is divine. Now let's go back to the whole idea that life is a game or a movie that I can play in, that I can direct. And again, whether it's a gift or a loan, what do I want to do with what I've been given? First of all, let me say that I really like the idea that it's all my own choice, that idea a lot. I like it because it gives me a sense of freedom. I can make any choice I want. But it also gives me a sense of responsibility. and my choices don't necessarily relieve me of any consequences or rewards. So let me give an example. I am in school, as I said, and I could choose, if I wanted, to stop doing the work that is required. I could choose to not pay my loans back when I have to pay them back. I could choose to not see my kids or not show up for work. I could choose these things. And this is something we have to be very, very aware of. It was something that I wasn't aware of for many, many, many years. And that is the power of choice. I can make certain choices about my life. Nobody can choose for me. I'm not in prison. I'm not paralyzed. I'm not bedridden. I have all kinds of choices. Amazing, amazing, almost infinite number of choices. But I have to also realize that within those choices, there will be consequences and or rewards for each of the choices I make. So let's say, for example, I decide to completely, I'm going to take the worst possible choice I can think of, to completely abandon my children. I'm not going to call them. I'm not going to see them. I'm not going to have any contact with them. I'm going to cut them out of my lives completely. Now, what choice, what consequences and rewards would I get from that? And let me be very clear about this. There are rewards to every choice, even if those choices seem destructive. For example, an alcoholic has the reward of feeling some relief when he or she drinks. But then, of course, there are a lot of consequences. So let me go back to the idea of abandoning my children completely. Well, what would be the rewards of that? Why would I do that? Well, it would relieve me of responsibility, of time. I would probably save a lot of money because every time I see my kids, I always wind up spending a lot of money. It would make my life logistically easier. I almost wouldn't even need a car because I wouldn't have to go out and see them. I mean, there would be some definite rewards for that. I would feel, in some ways, a great sense of relief, and I would feel like, gosh, I have more time now and more money. So we have to be really careful when we're saying, when we're looking at things, and especially when we're making bad choices, we have to realize, well, if I'm making a bad choice, it's because that I perceive the reward is greater than the consequence. Now, let's look at the consequences of me abandoning my children. Well, the first thing is I would create huge hurt for both my children and everyone around them. I would be unable to most likely repair those relationships in later years if I changed my mind. I would miss them terribly. I would be going against what I believe is right and good if I were to abandon my children. So even though there are some rewards, the consequences are greater than the rewards. And this is part of the game, of the movie, of choices that I'm making in my game or my movie, that I realize that there are consequences and rewards. So what does all this mean? So it means that I have control, I have choices, but none of those choices come without consequences and rewards. That's part of the game. But I still have choices. And again, as I said, for many years of my life, I believed I didn't have any choices. And the truth is, most of us, almost all of us, have a tremendous number of choices, even with limitations. The number one choice, of course, is our attitude. The second choice, I think, is what do we do with our time? I think that's probably the second most important choice of life. The first is our attitude. The second, our use of time. Going back to this game of life, this movie of life, when I review it, do I want to see someone who has accomplished little or much? Do I want to see someone who has been a good father or a poor father? Do I want to see someone who is prickly and defensive and angry, or someone who is calm and peaceful and loving? Do I want to see someone who has achieved great things and done things that he has wanted to do all his life? Or do I want to see someone who's given up and made excuses? What do I want to see in my movie? What kind of movie do I want? I will never, ever forget a scene that I saw in the movie Back to the Future. It was an amazing scene. It's one that has stuck deeply, deeply within me most of my life since I've seen this movie. And here's the scene. I'll assume you've seen Back to the Future and you know the story of Marty McFly, who goes back in time to make changes in his life and in the lives of his parents. And he does. He makes the changes he needs to make. And before he goes, he is living in a situation where his father has not lived at all up to his potential and has an ulcer and is being bullied by his supervisor, and a mother who, if not a complete alcoholic, is very close to being one, and a brother and sister who are not anywhere near their potential. And I knew a family like this, actually, very much like this. And it was just awful and sad. Anyway, he goes back to the past, and then he comes back to the present. And when he goes home, he sees that his entire family has changed, that his siblings are successful and have good jobs, that his parents are in love and happy, and that his father is an author, a best-selling author, and is in love with his wife, and he just looks like a completely different person, a successful person. And that's the picture I want for my own life. That's the way I want my movie to end, where I and the people around me are happier and more pleasant and more productive and more successful and have a better relationship with God and with each other. Those are the things I want. And so that's the movie I'm in, is trying to create that. Now, I'm in the middle of my movie. I'm not there yet. I am struggling in a lot of ways. I have made mistakes. I am making mistakes probably. But that's the movie I want. That's what I want. I want to be someone who's in the movie where at the end, even with all the struggles, she winds up successful. She winds up happy. She winds up with good relationships. She winds up having done the things she wants to do with his life. That's what I want. But if I'm in this game, if I'm in this movie, I have to create it. I have the power, but to paraphrase Stan Lee in The Origin of Spider-Man, I have the responsibility as well. Here's the thing. Certain things are handed to us almost at birth. Our intelligence, our looks, our abilities, our proclivities, our likes, our dislikes, they're almost ingrained in us from birth. Now, whether you think that's from God or genetic, it doesn't really matter. We have what we have. We are what we are. And I believe it is our responsibility to take what we have been given and make the very, very best of it. Now, I don't mean make the best of it as in settle. I mean really make the best of it. Can I be great at whatever it is that I'm doing? Can I be successful? Can I be happy? Can I get good grades? Can I please my supervisors and coworkers? Can I be a good father to my children? Can I be kind? Can I be patient? It's up to me. And it's easy, and I have often been the first one to blame my parents, my upbringing, my childhood, my teachers, my spiritual background, my whatever, and say, well, I behave these ways, or I did these things that I'm not happy about because of, and then fill in the blank. But here's the thing. Whenever we say because of, and that because of doesn't end in because of a choice that I made, then the truth is we are preventing our own growth. And we have literally, I believe, no hope of ever getting better until we say, I made that choice to do that thing. And yes, there may have been extenuating circumstances. There may have been additional pressures. We may have even felt like, no, we didn't have the choice. But I believe 99.999% of the time, we did make our own choices. And now we have to decide, what choices do I want to make today? Stephen Pressfield says something to the effect of, I can't even remember, but it's something like, today, right now, we have the choice to do anything we want, to make any choice we want. That this very moment, and there is no moment where we don't have that choice to completely change our lives, to completely do something different, new, to do something that gives us a movie that's fun to watch and has a good ending, to do something where we win in the game that we are playing. All right, this was fun. I am going to be back. If you need a mentor, a coach, a speaker, a writer, an editor, or anything I can do for you, give me a call at 619-672-0378. I look forward to it.